Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music today. I trust that you have thoroughly enjoyed the music and everything so far this morning. What a blessing it is to be in the Lord's house. And now we have an opportunity to look into the precious Word of God, the Bible, that He has preserved for us to receive a message from His Word. And so if you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you would, turn with me to the book of Galatians in chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. We're going to be reading the very end of Paul's letter to the church of Galatia here, verse 11 down to verse 18. Galatians chapter 6, verse 11 down to verse 18. If you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together this morning. Beginning in verse 11. You see how large a letter I have written unto you, with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. As many as walk according to this rule, peace on them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you this morning, we love you, Lord God, and thank you for, first of all, loving us, which gives us the opportunity to love you and to serve you. Thank you for the opportunity that you made available to each one that is here today. And the fact that they took advantage of it and they have, of their own free will, chosen to assemble together this morning to worship you. And I just pray, God, that you would bless them because of that decision. I pray, Father, that you would work in our midst. You know exactly what's taking place in each and everyone's lives and what kind of spiritual need they have this morning. I pray that through this service that you would just address that spiritual need. Pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Paul writes to the church of Galatia to help them to overcome false teachers and worldly temptations. There's much here in the book of Galatians that are a blessing, but we find in the very beginning, just to kind of set the ground rules here and to help you to see what's going on. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4, in Paul's introduction, he says concerning the Lord Jesus, who gave himself for our sins. Now, he gave himself on the cross of Calvary. He paid a sin debt that every man, woman, and child of the age of accountability owe and could not pay. But he paid that sin debt, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Deliver us as we live in this world, but to deliver us from the evil that is in this world, according to the will of God and our Father. One of the key verses in the entire book of Galatians, and it's found somewhat right there in the middle, in chapter 2 and verse 20, helps us also to understand what Paul is presenting to the believers here in Galatia. He says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So Paul talked about being crucified with Christ, and yet he lives to be able to serve the Lord and let Christ live through him. And then if we go there to the end, I think help you just a little bit to understand what was taking place in the book of Galatians and the church there at Galatia, to be able to have Paul close out this letter the way he did. Now, Paul reveals to them that he is writing this letter himself. Now, that puts a lot of emphasis on this letter, because Paul was was almost blind. He had problems with his sight, and he had others that would dictate. He would dictate what they would write. But at this particular time, Paul wanted them to know that this was very important, what he's getting ready to write. And so he says to them that he has written this letter with his own hand. And then he says in verse 12, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, talking about the false teachers there, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer for the cross of Christ. Now, what was happening here, the leaders and some of the religious leaders of the day were trying to combine Judaism to be able to relieve any kind of persecution that they would have from those who were believed in Old Testament law and that was not ready to accept the cross of Christ as of yet. And so to relieve some of that persecution, they were trying to add circumcision to Christianity. And they would try to get those that would turn to Christ to be circumcised, which would have been Old Testament law, understanding. So they was trying to combine the two. And so Paul says here, they only do this so that they do not have to suffer the persecution for the cause of Christ. And the cross of Christ is the main key here that Paul is wanting to get across. And then verse 14, and this is really our text for this morning. Verse 14, it says, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but being a new creature. So we find here that Paul would emphasize the cross of Christ. Paul had lived somewhat a religious life, which was actually more of a worldly life, just based on a religious religion, but it was without the knowledge of the cross of Christ. He had lived his life and at the beginning was actually persecuting the cross of Christ. He was persecuting the Christians and the churches of Christ. But he was living with the world in mind, and he was wanting to climb the stairs of success. He wanted to become something. He had his mind focused on this world. And so he had lived a life without the knowledge of the cross of Christ. And then on that road to Damascus, he met the Lord Jesus Christ and realized how he had been living. And he had put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And since that point, he had lived his life with Christ. So a life without Christ was a life that was living based on sin. And the life with Christ was a life that was based on a life without sin. So he had experienced both. For just a minute here this morning, stop and think about what our lives would have been like if we had never committed any sin. Stop and think about that. As you were growing up, if you were living a life without sin, then you would have never gotten in trouble. Would that have changed a lot of how you were raised? You would have never had to lie to your parents because you would have always been obedient. Whatever they would ask you to do, you would have done. You would have never broken the law. You would have never had a wrong thought. You would never have lied. You have no reason to lie because you wasn't trying to cover up anything because you'd not sinned. If you look back over your life, your past life, there's no doubt you can see how sin affected your life as a boy, as a girl, as a teenager, as a young adult, as a married couple, as a senior saint, whatever age you are. If you look back over your life, you can see sin and how it affected your life in the past and how it might even be affecting your life even today and how much different it would have been. And it would be today if I could erase not only all the sin, but the consequences, the scars of my past sins. Last couple of weeks, the Lord's led us in this direction, but we have been preaching on 2 weeks ago that Jesus told the woman that was taken in adultery, and they were trying to test him to see how he would do things. And he said, that the one that was without sin, let him cast the first stone. And everyone there realized, well, we're sinful people. And so they all put down their stones and they all one by one walked away. And then Jesus asked her, he says, where are those thine accusers? There was none there. And he said, neither do I condemn thee. But he said this to her, go and sin no more. Change your life. Take advantage of the opportunity you have now that you have been saved or you have been redeemed, you have been given a second chance on life, and go live your life as without sin. Last week we preached on the impotent man who, when Jesus found him, he asked him if he would be made whole. And because he desired what God had to offer him, Jesus made him whole. He gave him strength in his legs, and he was able to get up, and he told him to go pick up thy bed and walk. And he did exactly, even though it was a Sabbath day, and they were so upset over him carrying his bed on the Sabbath days, and the world, the lost, were not even looking at the miracle of healing. Jesus found him again in the temple where every born-again believer ought to be, amen, after they get saved, is in church, and he says, you've been made whole. And he tells him this. He says, go and sin no more. Can I tell you, it's God's will for every believer that we take advantage of the forgiveness of sins, to take advantage of a new life that God has given to us, because salvation is a gift. And when we get saved, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which gives us a new nature, and we're new creatures. And so to take advantage of that, and go out and live a life that is based on no sin. Our help to be able to do this is what Paul is revealing at the end of this letter to the church of Galatia. Our help to be able to do this is the knowledge of the cross of Christ. Today, most think of the cross of Christ to be a piece of jewelry. I mean, you'll find that those even athletes and those giving interviews, you might see this on television, and a lot of them, they'll have a cross around their neck. Many here might have crosses, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it's more, the cross of Christ is more than just a piece of jewelry. They think that makes a difference if they wear a cross, and it all depends on what they're looking at. If they're looking at it as a piece of jewelry, it doesn't mean anything. But in the Bible days when Jesus was crucified on the cross of Calvary, the cross represented death. It was an instrument of death. And so when they thought of the cross, when Paul was talking about the cross of Christ, he was thinking about Jesus dying on the cross, the price that was paid for his sin. Jesus loved him enough to pay his sin debt on Calvary's cross. Paul viewed the cross of Christ for what it had done for him. Now, I trust if you wear a cross, then it's to help you to remind you of what Jesus did for you. Now, don't ever wear the cross without Christ still on the cross. Listen to me. He's not on the cross. No, he's resurrected. He's not on the cross. And so throw that away. If you want to wear a cross, wear one that's just a cross that Jesus would have symbolized, the place that he died for you. And let that cross not just be a piece of jewelry, but let that cross, as this cross up here, be a reminder for us and what Jesus has done for us. That might help you not to yield to sin. It's God's will for every believer to go and sin no more. Our help to do this is the cross of Christ. Paul said this cross of Christ had made him, first of all, a new creature. Look in verse 15. He says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. Don't be focused on works or whatever else you're doing here. Let's focus on what the cross of Christ brought to us. And he says, but a new creature. A new beginning. An opportunity to live a new life. A life that is intended to be lived without sin. There over in the book of 2 Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 17 and 18, let me read this to you because it goes right along with this idea of the cross of Christ brings to us a new nature, a new beginning, a new life. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." What a blessing to know that once I was saved, that all of my sins, according to my relationship with God, all of my sins have been washed away, cast as far as the east is from the west, never to be brought back to my account. My relationship with God, when I get saved, I was dead before in trespasses and sins, but once I get saved, I have been renewed. I have been made alive unto God once again, and now I have a relationship with God. I have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and I have the opportunity to start all over again, have a new beginning, and live a life that is not based upon the world, the flesh, and the devil, not based upon sin, but based upon righteousness. Oh, if we'd only take advantage of that. And it's God's will that we take advantage of that. And whatever the past was, put it behind you and start living a life that is pleasing to God and living a life void of sin. The temptation to sin is a part of this physical life. No doubt about it. It may temporarily satisfy an immediate physical desire. To tell young people that sin is nasty and you won't enjoy it is not the truth. The results of sin is nasty. The results of sin, the end result of sin, is something that you don't want to have to, you won't have, want to have to pay for. But you will pay for it. There are consequences of sin. But there can be enjoyment, physical pleasure in sins for a season. It may temporarily satisfy an immediate physical desire, but what it will do to our spiritual life, our walk with God, our fellowship with God, is definitely not worth it. You cannot commit sin and continue to have a walk with God. You cannot live in darkness and enjoy the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no darkness within Him. There's no fellowship with darkness. But if we are living in the light, we are living according to the will of God, can I tell you that there is fellowship with God? There is blessings that God has for us. Paul understood that. In Hebrews in chapter 6, look there with me, Hebrews in chapter 6, he writes to us a blessing here. I love this passage of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 4 down to verse 6. Paul says, "For it is impossible for those who were enlightened." He's talking about those who got saved. We're going to come back to this. "Those who are enlightened have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of the God and the powers of the world to come. If they shall fall away, if they should turn away from God and turn back into sin, to renew them again into repentance, seeing they have crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to open shame." Every believer that commits a sin, that's exactly what you're doing when you commit that sin. You are crucifying Christ afresh. You're putting Him to an open shame. How in the world do you think God can fellowship with someone who is crucifying Christ afresh? Who is putting Christ to shame, what He stands for? There will not be fellowship. There will be chastisement. There will be judgment upon that sin. Understanding when I yield to that sin, that's as a born-again believer that has been given a new life, that has been given the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that now I am more accountable than ever before. I have the Spirit of God dwelling within me to have the blessings of God upon my life, to turn from that blessing of God and to commit sin as a born-again believer. Don't you think that you're going to enjoy that for an indefinite period of time? Don't you think that you're going to go without being chastened and go without the judgment of that sin? Look what we do. When we commit that sin, then we are crucifying Christ afresh. When we commit sin as a born-again believer, we are putting His name to an open shame. But look what Paul revealed to us that we have when we are living for the Lord and when we are looking to Him and living as God would have us to live. He said, "For it is impossible for those who were enlightened." Salvation enlightens us. When you got saved, you were made aware that there is a God in heaven. When you got saved, you had faith to believe that Jesus Christ was your Lord and Savior. That you would have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That now you have access into the very holies of holies. You have access into the presence of God. And God will hear your prayers. And you can walk with God in fellowship with God 24/7. Amen. When you get saved, you have that. You have been enlightened. And you have tasted of the heavenly gift. The gift of salvation. The gift of knowing that my sins have been forgiven. The gift of knowing that I have an access to God. The gift to know that I have not only life left here on this earth, but no matter what happens when my life on this earth is over, I have the gift of everlasting life. I have the gift of eternal life. You know that if you're saved. Satan will blind you to that. He will blind you to the cross of Christ and what the cross of Christ brings to you when he's trying to tempt you to sin. He goes on, he says, "And tasted of the heavenly gift," tasted of that, "and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost." My goodness, you have the Spirit of God dwelling within you. And the Spirit of God bearing witness with your spirit will lead, guide, and direct you. And He will convict you inwardly before you'll ever be convicted outwardly. He will help you to do right if you'll yield to Him. That's what He said. You have that. And have tasted the good Word of God. You open the Bible and you read it and it means something to you. You come to church and you hear the preaching of the Word of God. And God speaks through the preaching of the Word of God. And you've tasted that and you've had God tell you things that only God would know about you. You would have God address things in your life that only God can address in your life. And He does it through the preaching of the Word of God. And you've experienced that. If you're born again and you've been in church, listen, that's what brings you back. Is that when you're sitting under the preaching of the Word of God, God does a work in your heart and mind. God reveals things to you about yourself that no one else even knows. You've tasted that. You've understood that. You've tasted the good Word of God and the powers of the world to come. Heaven is real. Amen. Spiritual life is real. And greater is He that is within you than he that is in the world, the power of God in you. When the temptations to sin come, view the cross. When the temptations of this flesh come, they will. View the cross. When the temptations from outside of your own flesh, when the temptations of this world try to overpower you, view the cross. Paul said in verse 14, if I'm going to glory, I'm going to glory in the cross. In the fact that you've been saved. Don't ever lose sight of that. Don't ever lose sight of what you have tasted and the blessings that God has brought to you through salvation. And whenever that temptation comes, and it will come, it will come on a regular basis. It will come every day of your life. View the cross. View what you're going to have to give up for a temporary pleasure. View where it's going to take you when the pleasure wears off, when the feeling is gone. And the reality sets in. not worth it. Go back with me. Go back with me. Because not only did this is the help that we have, the cross of Christ. And Paul said, first of all, the help of Christ was the understanding that I have a new nature. I'm a new creature. I have a new life. He has forgiven my old life and brought me to a place where I have a fresh beginning, a new life. It made him a new creature. The second thing it did for Paul, and it does for each and one of us here this morning as well, the cross crucifies the world to the believer. Look at verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me. The world has many attractions that appeal to our flesh. Satan works through the world, he works through the flesh. And the world has, if you're focused on the world and you're focused on the flesh, it has many attractions that will tempt us to sin. Possessions. If you're focused on the world, you're focused on having what others have. Possessions, which lead to the love of money, which the Bible says is the root of all evil. Not money itself, but the love of money. Because I'm focused on possessions, and that's what my life is here to do, is just to gain as many possessions as I can. To gain as much money on a weekly basis, to be able to have the nicest car, to be able to have the biggest house, to be able to have all the different things that are available in this world. And if you focus on that, then can I tell you that it will lead to sin. It will lead you to living a life based on possessions, worldly possessions. When those possessions, and Satan tries to use that to tempt you to give your life to that, view the cross. As you view the cross, can I tell you, it'll help you to put things in perspective. This is a temporal life. What God has given to you is eternal. There's a reason he tells us that we have mansions in heaven, amen? There's a reason God reveals us, Jesus revealed, I go to prepare a place for you, amen? He's going to prepare a place for us, and there's so much glory to receive in heaven, far exceeding what you could ever receive on this earth. So many people give their life to it and never amount to anything. And yet they've given their whole life to it. Thinking, I'm going to hit that lottery. That's my only chance. That's what I'm going to do. And they destroy everything. And that love of money becomes a root of all evil. Attractions that will tempt us to sin. There's positions which go along with the pride of life. I want a position to have servants under me. I want a position to be above other people. I want a position in this life. I'm going to give my life to climbing the ladder of success. And I want to do this and I want to do that. And they're focused on nothing more than this world. And the Bible says if you are a saved individual and you're looking to Christ, that salvation, the cross of Christ, crucifies the world to you. That means you're not living according to this world. You're not living based upon the possessions and the positions of this world, but you're living as to please God and let God direct you in the positions and let God give you the possessions of life that you can honor Him with. But if that's what you're focused on, it'll lead to sin, the pride of life. And of course, the pleasures, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, all have their allurements. I was told of a man out of state in church. He going through a rough time, going through a very depressed time. And so he thought the answer was to call an escort service. He got a hold of a name and didn't remember how he could get a hold of this. And so he goes out to a hotel where he was supposed to be meeting this woman that he had called ahead for and got arranged for this relationship. He was there in the hotel and the door rings to the hotel and he goes, not knowing who was on the other side, he goes and opens a door thinking it would be something from this escort service. And the person they sent over ended up being his own daughter. The wages of sin. The desires of this life. Give yourself to them. That's not the answer. All have their allurements, but not if they're dead to me. I need to view sin as sin. I need to view the sins of this flesh as sin. I need to view the sins associated with this world as sin. If we're focused on the cross of Christ, we have something more important to live for. We have something more meaningful than sin. Can I tell you that all of us will go through difficult times? You're going to go through some times of discouragement. Somebody's going to let you down, a job, a person, a pastor, a Christian, whatever, a wife, a husband. And you're going to go through some discouraging times. Can I just help you to know something right now? Sin is not the answer. Sin is not the solution to what your discouragement is. Closer to God. When you feel discouraged because of something like that, you just focus on the cross of Christ. Amen. You're going to feel angry. Somebody is going to do something against you and they're going to persecute you or they're going to do something that you didn't want them to do. And that anger is going to lead you to want to have revenge. Sin is not the answer. Nor is it the solution to whatever you're going through. The cross of Christ is. You're going to reach a point in time in your life when you're going to go through a midlife crisis. Amen. Anybody? Don't have to raise your hand. Anybody there? Unless you're not midlife, you don't know it. But men go through midlife crisis. Women go through midlife crisis. And I think that's what happened to this man out of state. I thought the answer was sin. I wonder if he got what he was looking for. You never do. Temporarily, possibly, never long run. Listen to me. Sin is never the answer. It is never the solution. The cross of Christ is. If you're saved, you have been given a new life. If you're saved, he has through the cross of Christ. You can crucify the world, and the world does not have the impact on you if you focus on what God wants you to focus on, and that is the cross of Christ. Stay focused on it. The cross not only did that, but also he said, an eye unto the world. The cross of Christ crucifies believers to the world. Not only does it crucify the world to believers, praise the Lord for that, but he said also, I am unto the world. When believers live as to please God, we become dead to the world. Amen. The world ought to become dead to us. That's not what I'm focused on. I'm focused on the cross of Christ. I'm not going to let the things of this world, the possessions, the positions, the pleasures. I'm focused on the cross of Christ. But not only that, he said that it did the same thing when he would live as God would have him to live. The world had nothing to do with him. The world will reject you. And whether you realize it or not, that's a blessing. If you're going to live for Christ, unless you try to straddle the fence. unless you try to do what they did back in verse 12. And as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. They're going to try to combine the two, combine the world with Christ. Many so-called churches or religions are trying to combine the world with Christ. They combine the world with Christ in their music. They combine the world with Christ in their standards. They combine the world with Christ in how they worship. Listen to me. God knows how He wants us to worship Him, and God knows how He wants us to live. We just need to follow the Scriptures. As you live as Christ would have you to live, can I tell you, the world will write you off. Except for those that might look to you and say, I want what they have more than I want what the world has. And those you can lead to Christ and give them what you have. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man, somebody trying to do both, is unstable in all his ways. Unstable. The most miserable man in the world is not the Christian, it's not the lost man. It's the Christian try to live like a lost man. Most miserable person in the world. Unstable in all of his ways. And then lastly this morning as we close, the cross brings peace to the believer. Look at verse 16. And as many as walk according to this rule. What is that rule? A new creature. For the world has been crucified to you and you to the world. And as many as walk, that's how you live your life. As many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy upon the Israel of God or the children of God in this New Testament church age. The cross brings peace to the believer. We must live with the cross of Christ in view. It's not easy. That's why God designed prayer. That's why God designed Bible reading. That's why God designed the church. Designed by God to help. When the temptations come, and they will, you stay focused on the cross of Christ. Prayer will keep you reminded. Keep you mindful of the cross of Christ. Because it's through the cross that you have access to God, that you can pray to Him. Through the cross of Christ, you can pick up your Bible and you can read it, and God will speak to you through the Bible. It's because of the cross of Christ that we have the church, the true church. And you can come to a church, a place of refuge, and you can hear the Word of God being preached, and God can reveal to you the things that you need to be able to turn from the sins of the world. Cross of Christ. I love a song, and there's several songs in our song books. But one is Near the Cross. The songwriter writes this. He says, Jesus, keep me near the cross. There, a precious fountain. Free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beams around me. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadows o'er me. Near the cross, I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. In the cross, in the cross be my glory
ever till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. You sing that with me? In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.
Temptation's a sin. Never God's will. He's telling every one of us, go and sin no more. It's my will for your life. It's what's best for your life. And the help that he's given to us, never lose sight of the cross of Christ. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. The first question to ask yourself, have you received the gift that comes by way of the cross? Do you know for sure this morning, if your eyes were to close in death, that heaven would be your eternal home? Do you see yourself as a new creature in Christ because of the cross? If not, this morning we're going to give an invitation in just a few minutes. If you don't know for sure that you're saved and on your way to heaven, you don't know for sure that you've received a free gift of everlasting life, I want to ask you to come and let somebody take a Bible and show you what God says a person must do to be saved. And you can leave here with that confidence. You can leave here with that assurance of everlasting life. Don't leave here without it. Christian, are you facing temptations? Are you struggling with some of the things of the flesh and some of the things of the world? Can I encourage you to come and just commit to staying focused on the cross? Staying focused on the cross. Let God help you through that to live a life void of sin. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word and for the cross of Christ. Pray that it would make, Lord, more of an impact on our lives, that each one of us here would not lose sight of the fact that we have this to look to. And this is designed to give us the strength to live as you would have us to live. Bless on this invitation this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.